This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
But let's head over to Rome for the latest news from Rome and the Vatican and the Pope's general weekly audience. Ashley Nerona is our Vatican correspondent. Ashley, good morning. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Buongiorno to you, John.
And the general audience inside today at the Paul VI Audience Hall is the Holy Father continues his catechesis on the Beatitudes.
That's right. And this week, the reflection was on, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the Holy Father started by looking to the Desert Fathers, and specifically their view of the idea of mourning and sorrow. He spoke about sorrow referring to something that is interior to us, and it's something that really opens us up to an authentic relationship with the Lord, but also with the people around us. And then the Pope spoke about two types of sorrow that we find in Scripture. And the first is the sorrow that comes from death or when someone's suffering. So grief, in other words. He called it a bitter road, but also to remember that it's that same road that teaches us how short our time on earth is and to use that time well. And it also opens our eyes to understand the sacredness of life and the irreplaceable value of each person. And then the second type of sorrow that he spoke about that comes from Scripture is tears for our sin. In other words, the sorrow that we feel for when we sin or we see other sin and knowing how it offends God and it offends our neighbor. So the Pope specifically looked at two different reactions to sorrow, looking at two apostles, first at Peter, noting how when Peter reacts to sorrow after his betrayal of Jesus, his sorrow is manifested through his tears, and that these tears are a gift from the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit comes to us as a comforter. But then he contrasted that with Judas and Judas' reaction to sorrow. The Pope called Judas' tears fake tears, tears of pride that get in the way. And so today the Pope asked us all to remember that God will always forgive what he called even the ugliest sins. And he asked us to ask God for the grace to grieve for our sins and to be open to the healing grace of the Spirit so that we can comfort others with the same consolation that we too have received. And the audience today finished with Pope Francis asking all of us to pray especially for peace in Syria and for an end to the deadly coronavirus, John.
And when the Holy Father stresses that God always forgives even the ugliest sins, it's something that we'll talk about in about 10 minutes when Father Ed Broom joins us here on Morning Air. But right now, Ashley Nerona joining us live from Rome with the latest from the Pope's general weekly audience. And we celebrate an anniversary today, February 11th, 1929, the signing of the Lateran Treaty between the Holy See and the Kingdom of Italy, the world's smallest sovereign state, was born.
That's right, exactly. Not so long ago, just 91 years ago. And on that day in 1929, this is when Italy's prime minister, a man by the name of Benito Mussolini, maybe you've heard of him, and the legate of the Pope, Cardinal Gasparri, signed that Lateran Treaty, and that established the independent state of Vatican City. It made Vatican City its own sovereign state, thus the smallest country in the world. And as it said, it is with that signature that the Roman question was ended. So that was a dispute that had lasted for about 60 years after Italy had seized the papal state. And so in addition to celebrating the anniversary of the signing of the Lateran Treaty this month, Italy also celebrates the anniversary of Rome as the capital of the country. It's actually the 150th anniversary of Rome as the capital city. So throughout this entire year, there are all kinds of celebrations that are going on to remember Rome's birthday. 150 years isn't so long ago. It's hard to imagine that Italy is even younger than the USA, John.
Indeed. And also, as we speak with Ashley Nerona, the latest news from Rome and the Vatican, she always gives us some great color. And color is indeed part of Carnivale for us here. That would be Mardi Gras. And this is the weeks leading up to Easter. And it's the big party before Ash Wednesday. How's that going to be celebrated, Ashley?
Well, John, I'm happy to tell you that the Italians take their partying very seriously. And right here in Rome, especially on Sundays, if you go out to the Villa Borghese, which is the largest park, the largest green area in Rome, it's going to be filled with families. And a tradition is that the kids dress in costume and they carry confetti with them and they just sprinkle it all over anyone who might happen to smile at them. And so every Monday morning you see confetti littering all the streets, and it's a reminder of those sweet little costumed kids. But we all know about the Carnivale, the Mardi Gras celebrations that go on in Venice, because the ones in Venice are the most famous, but there's all kinds of celebrations that go on throughout this country. In fact, up in Tuscany, in Viareggio, there is a celebration that's happening. They have colorful floats that are going to parade down the streets. And it all started, the history of that particular festival goes back to 1873. It was a protest to the upper classes, because the upper classes didn't have to pay taxes. And so that particular celebration has a political theme even to this day. So they make papier-mâché caricatures of political figures that are carried atop of various Carnivale floats. But then over in Fano and Marche, this started as a celebration to bring together two warring families. It goes all the way back to 1347. That is, it's making it the oldest Carnivale celebration in the country of Italy. And people go there, especially if they have sweet teeth, because they are known for all of the chocolates that they shower down from the floats. And then down in Sicily, in Acireale, there is one of the best-known carnivals down there, actually originated from people during this time of year throwing rotten eggs and fruit at each other. But the good news is that they don't do that anymore. They decorate their floats with fancy lights and flowers, etc. But then up in Ivrea in Piemonte area, they have an annual orange fight. So it actually goes back to a commemoration of the locals' struggle against the Napoleonic troops, right? So they have been actually keeping up this orange fight for many centuries. And then down in Chiara, Sicily, at the end of their big Carnivale parade, they burn an effigy of what they call the Carnival King. That all happens in the town square. So all the townspeople gather around to see it. But then over in Sardinia and Oristano, there's a horse race, and the riders actually try to hang a silver star from on a high pole, and they do acrobatics in the saddles of their horses. So lots of merriment, Sardinian style. And I have to tell you, John, I personally am going to, this weekend, experience something new. A very dear friend of mine from the United States is coming to visit, and we are going to sneak away to the south of France. We're going to go to Nice for the Carnivale Flower Festival, and then to a nearby town for the Strange Citrus Fruit Festival.
Wow.
Where apparently they make all kinds of exhibits out of fruit. So lots to look forward to this Carnivale season, John.
That's going to be great. We've got about a minute remaining, Ashley. Father Rocky was on with us yesterday, our executive director, and he was teaching at the North American College in Rome last week, and he said he went over to your house for dinner. What did you make?
Oh, John, we had such a good time. We had cannelloni for our primo. We had veal saltimbocca for our secondo. Now, saltimbocca, this is the pounded veal with prosciutto on top, with sage on top of that. And the name saltimbocca literally means jump in your mouth. That means it's just that good. And we finished it all off with some good old Italian chocolate gelato.
Glenn and I had Pop-Tarts this morning, so that just kind of evens out the food scale here.
It sure does.
Ashley Nerona is our Vatican correspondent, and of course, Ashley and her husband John will be your personal tour guides of Rome and the Vatican, and also take a look at what they've founded. It's called the Truth and Beauty Project, and it provides Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome, and much more online at truthandbeautyproject.com. That's truthandbeautyproject.com. All the best to you, Ashley and John. We'll talk to you next week.
Well, thank you, John. I look forward to it. Buona giornata.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.